name is Justin Reed. I am the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We're located at the base of Short Mountain in God's Country, Cannon County, Tennessee. What we're going to be doing tonight, as we are going to end this year, as I'm sharing this, by the way, I'm trying to do like six things at once, as we are going to be studying something that I feel will be very beneficial to us here in the new year. And you may say, wait, Brother Justin, 2020 is not over. I know it's not over, but it will be Friday. Friday begins a new year for us. So what I want us to do as we continue live at 5, we're going to look at Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. I think there are so many great lessons that we can glean from this chapter that will be very beneficial to us as we make it an attempt to live faithfully unto the Lord. All right, if you'd share this video so that others can join in with us, I would also greatly be appreciative. Once again, sorry for the technical issues. I'll spend all night trying to fix that. If you would, grab your copy of God's Word. Let's go over to the book of Ecclesiastes, a wonderful book in the Old Testament, and let's begin our study here in chapter 3 and verse number 1, for Solomon says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. You know, as Solomon is writing this, his efforts to understand the quote-unquote true meaning of life, he sees that the good times and the bad times, well, they simply come to all. In fact, this is a fact that is repeated every generation. It's nothing new for us to be experiencing bad times. You see, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, he's reflecting on his life here in Ecclesiastes. In fact, Solomon is going to remind us that, honestly, there are some things that are just out of control. There are some things that we just simply have no control over in our lives. Now, next week, Lord willing, into the new year, the first live at 5 we will do, we're going to talk about how God is in control. But tonight, we need to realize there are some things that are out of our control. Tonight in our study, which is the first 15 out of the 22 verses in this chapter, we're going to see how Solomon is going to be contemplating the providence of God. And if you're outlining these notes, and you can click the link above the video if you want a copy of them, but it's not going to be a balanced outline because most of our points are in point number 1. And that we're looking at the times and the seasons that have been appointed by God. And we see this from verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time of hate, a time of war and also a time of peace. And if you're more of a classic rock fan, you may remember the Birds had a hit on this. Pete Seeger actually wrote it, but he credited on the songwriting credits King Solomon. So King Solomon is the oldest person to have a number one song. But anyways, all these things that Solomon has mentioned here in verses 1 through 8 of Ecclesiastes 3, friends, that's something that we will all come to know if we simply live long enough. In fact, this is confirming the assertion that he makes there in the second chapter. But quickly, if you may want to mark your place there in Ecclesiastes as we ponder what James says. As James writes to New Testament Christians, James 4, beginning in verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and we will buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a short time, then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this, or we will do that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, well, friends, to him it is sin. We see that Solomon is saying all these things. We really ought to say, if the Lord wills, they're all going to come to us. Now notice, there's a list of things, verses 2 through 8, that there is a time for. And so the first one, he says there's a time to be born and a time to die. That comes from verse 2. Friends, I don't know if you've ever really stopped to contemplate it or not, but the fact when your birth, when you were born, well, that was out of your control, wasn't it? You didn't really get to say, well, I want to go to earth now. I want to be born now. Now, mothers may say, well, the baby was coming. Well, the baby may have been coming, but that's when the baby was supposed to come. And friends, we really can't prevent our death now. We can do things. We can eat right, exercise, live a healthy lifestyle to prolong the inevitable. But friends, it's still inevitable. The Hebrew writer tells us a verse that we're familiar with. I don't know why there's an extra two. It should just be 9:27. But it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this comes the judgment. We see that our birth's out of our control, and our death is as well, friends. Each one has their own appointed seasons. That's why Solomon starts out, that's something outside of our control. But there is a time to be born, and there is a time to leave this earth, to go meet our Maker. There's also a time, in verse 2, to plant, and also a time to pluck up that which you've planted. Now, any farmer that you know or that I know, and we may know the same farmers, but that really doesn't matter. Any farmer, friends, that we know can attest to this being true. There are certain things you've got to plant at a certain time of the year that a couple months later, if you want to get a crop of that, you better have planted it already. And in fact, our future survival depends on knowing when to plant and when to pluck. Because if you say, well, I'd really like to plant some corn and it's Christmas Day, well, friends, I can tell you that's not going to work out well for you. You may put it in the ground, certainly, but if it's not the time to plant corn or whatever you're planting, it just simply won't come to pass. Go with me there to Luke chapter 8 for just a minute. The parable of the sower, or the parable of the grounds, we see Christ is using the idea of broadcasting seed when he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and they have no root. For a while they believe, but in the time of temptation they fall away. And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth, and they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring forth no fruit to perfection. But they that are the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. And I love that verse in Matthew 15:13. Every plant, Jesus Christ says, that my heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. Friends, there's a time to plant things and time to pull things back up. Solomon goes on to say in verse 3 of Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. He's talking here about the execution of criminals and also the healing of the sick. We'll just quickly reference there that passage in Deuteronomy 13, duo meaning second, onomy meaning law. So we see in the second giving of the law, he has in this passage what you should do if someone wrongs you. And he's also talking about idolatry. He says there in verse 9, but thou shalt surely kill him. Those that have done against the law, they shall be put to death. Thou shalt stone him with stones, and he shall die. And people say, well, I don't think my God would want that to happen. Friends, God's a God of vengeance just as much as he there is a God of love. But let's also see in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 31. Luke 5 and 31, Jesus says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call the sick. I came to call those that are sick of sin. Jesus Christ truly is the great physician. Friends, there's a time to kill, and there's a time when things need to be healed. But going back to Ecclesiastes 3 also says there's a time to break down, and there's a time to build up. And this has more of a reference to tearing down dilapidated buildings to build new ones. Sometimes we want to keep old historical buildings, and that's great. I love them. But sometimes if a building is a safety hazard, well, you know it as well as I, friends, that they need to be torn down and they need to have a new one built. And there's a time for each of that. And Solomon is reminding of that. He says in verse 4, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. See, that verse is really saying the same. And the way the Hebrews would write, they would say something and then say it the same way, or say, excuse me, say the same thing, but a different way to build emphasis. Well, we see that the feelings of the heart's what he's talking about. Friends, there are good times, and we need to rejoice. We need to laugh. We need to be giddy. And there are bad times. When somebody has lost a dear loved one, where somebody loses a job, where bad things happen. Friends, we don't need to be all giddy in those instances. Now, we can rejoice when a faithful saint goes home, but we still need to be somber in that moment. Friends, good times and bad times, they come into the heart of all. And if you have never been touched by sorrow, if you have never had a reason in your life to weep and mourn, I would love to sit down and talk with you, especially given the year that we've been having. Don't get me wrong, a lot of good things have come out of this year, but it's been a rough year for many people. Friends, we need to realize that good and bad come to all. That passage in Romans 12 in the Christian's to-do list, rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with those that do weep. If you're happy, I'm supposed to be happy with you. And if you're sad, I'm supposed to be right there comforting you as much as I possibly can. There's a time for happiness and there's a time for sadness. But he also says in verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. He's talking about building a fence here. He says sometimes you need to clear a field. Sometimes you need to go build a fence or mend a fence. You know, they didn't really have barbed wire fences, chicken wire fences, electric fences back then. Most of their fences were natural barriers, or they would make a stone wall or a wooden wall or something about that nature. So sometimes you need to cast out, you need to clean out the field. And friends, sometimes you need to just gather stones. You need to put a fence here. But notice Solomon is not leaving any area of our lives out, even if it's something simple as fixing a fence. He also says in verse 5, there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Literally there in the Hebrew means to be far from. I've seen some people maybe try to apply that to social distancing. That's not what he's talking about. Honestly, he's talking about love. At least in one aspect. It could apply to multiple things, but he's saying we need to refrain from embracing things that are illicit. Go with me there to Proverbs chapter 5, 18 through 21. And Proverbs, I look at it as a love letter to his son. And he's going to say at the beginning, my son, heed the words of your father, heed the words of your mother. Song of Solomon is a love letter to a woman in his life, maybe even his mother. And then Ecclesiastes is a love letter from an old man at the end of his life. But notice what he tells his son, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roll, and her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with the strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Friends, if there's anybody that could say, don't go with the strange woman, it would be Solomon. Only had 300 wives, 700 concubines. That's too many. Anything more than the one. Friends, he's saying there are times when you need to do things, and there are times when you need to stick with your mate. You always need to stick with your mate. Look there in 1 Corinthians 7. Verses 2 through 5. Nevertheless, Paul says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband, he hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not the one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, to come together again, that Satan may tempt you not for your incontinency. Solomon is saying, there's a time to embrace, and you don't need to be embracing with somebody who's not your spouse. That's every aspect of life, is it not, friends? He also goes on to say there is a time to get, in verse 6, and a time to lose, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. I have to remind myself sometimes it's better if you keep silent. You know, in life there are gains. In life there are losses. You talk to somebody who is financially minded and they see a big project, the wise know when to exert energy, when to buy into this, when to give your time, effort, attention to this, and they also know when you just need to cut your losses and move on. There's a time to seek and to keep. There's a time to lose and to cast away. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent. He also says, though, there is a time, verse 7, to rend, and there's a time to sow. Go with me to the book of Genesis, if you will, for just a minute. Genesis 37, with two verses there, we see the biblical concept, if you will, rending garments in a time of grief. What often people would do, Genesis 37 and verse 29, when people were upset, they would rend their clothes. And then, when your season of grief is over, you still need to wear that clothing, so you would have to sew it back together. Look here in Genesis 37. Reuben returned to the pit. Reuben, the oldest of Jacob's 12 boys. Jacob has given his favorite son, Joseph, a loud sports coat. No, it's a coat of many colors. Well, the other brethren, literally, his brethren are jealous of him. They sell him in, they throw him into a pit, they take his coat, they rip it up, they put goat blood on it, and they take it to poor old daddy and say, "Daddy, look, some poor animal has gotten our brother, about killed their daddy." Reuben thought he would try to maybe fix the problem. Reuben returned, and behold, Joseph is not in the pit. And so he tears his clothing. He is so mad, he just rips his clothing. Verse 34, Jacob, when he finds out what has happened, he tears his clothing and he puts sackcloth upon his loins and he mourned for Joseph many days. But the time would come when you'd need to sew those garments back together, and then you could look down and you would see the stitch work and you would go, "Well, I don't need to do that again. I don't want to be there again to have to rend or to rend another garment." Friends, we've already mentioned it, but he says it again a different way. A time to keep silence, and there's a time to speak. And I want you to note, there's a time for both. There is a time where we need to be speaking, and there's a time when we ought to maybe not speak. Go with me there to Proverbs 15. I've got this verse underlined in my copy of God's Word. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Literally, in his season in Hebrew. Solomon is saying, if you've got the right word to say at the right time, it is wonderful. And if you say it at the wrong time, it could be awful. 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, the fool can look like a smart man if he just keep his mouth shut. What's the old quote? It's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and have their theory proven. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent, friends. There's a time, if we go back to our lesson text in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time of war and a time of peace. Both of these emotions of love and have peace, to hate and to have war, these are emotions that are common to life. In fact, let's see what John says. John tells us, friends, that there are certain things that we need to love. And what Jesus is telling us, John's recording it, they should say. John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. See, Jesus Christ says the true hallmark identifier of one of his disciples is if you love. If you have love for one another. And I've heard some people say, well, I just love everybody and everything, and I don't hate a single thing. And I say, well, you're not doing it right. And they say, why? And I said, because the Lord tells us there are certain things. Friends, we should not love sin. Now, we love the sinner, but we hate the sin. Notice what Solomon says in Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now, Solomon is not going back and saying, well, I actually found a seven. But the way the Hebrews would speak, seven being a complete number, and they would kind of build a bridge, as we mentioned. So when he says six, wait, seven, then all his audience would go, this is important. Notice, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And that can be as simple as killing somebody. But friends, I'll go ahead and tell you now, whether you like it or not, that abortion's shedding innocent blood. God hates that. A wicked heart that deviseth wicked imagination, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running the mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I counted twice in 7 points that he hates lying. We better be careful, friends. There's a time for all of this in our lives. We should depend on things in which we have no ultimate control. We should depend on God. Because I can't control things in this life. Now, I control my actions, but I can't control the world. But God can, and Solomon anticipates that, because our final point is man's duty. We've seen how there's a time for literally everything in our life. What's man's job? Well, because there are laws that govern the issues and events of life, Solomon asks, watch this, Ecclesiastes 3:9, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he labors? See, he's trying to figure out, he's answering in verse 3, saying it again in chapter 1, verse 3, what profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? He's trying to say, is it even worth working? Well, he's going to find out that all efforts to circumvent this are futile. Friends, we do have a job. And he says that in verses 10 through 15. He says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He that hath made everything beautiful in his time also hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice, to do good in his life. Also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. God requireth that which is past. Friends, man needs to realize that he has a purpose in God's overall scheme. We all have individual talents, and God calls upon us to use our talents in service to him. But I tell you what, man cannot fully appreciate the beauty of God's overall scheme. Why? Because this moment right here, right now, I am living in a small portion. God is seeing the finished piece. If you want to imagine you as a puzzle piece, and you connect in a certain way with usually 4 or 5 other pieces around you, depending on the shape of the puzzle. And you only see what's around you, and God is the puzzle putter together, the person working the puzzle. And he's seeing the whole picture, friends. So to help us understand and help us accept the times and seasons of life, we best view things from eternity's perspective. In other words, we must make the best of the hand that we've been dealt. Some are better public speakers than others. Some have a better family that they live with than others. But we need to make the best of the hand that we have, the best of the life that we have been blessed to live on this earth. And finally, notice what Paul says to those at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. We often focus on the latter part of this verse, which is fitting, no doubt, but I want you to notice the things that we're facing in life, we're not the first ones to face it. And if this world continues by the grace of God, we won't be the last. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear. What's the first line? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You say, well, I'm dealing with this. I just let go from my job. I'm sick. This, that, or the other. Family's sick. You're not the first person to deal with this problem. I'm not trying to diminish the problem. There are real problems. But friends, it helps me get through things when I realize I'm not the only one that's faced this, and I won't be the only one. And maybe when I get through this, I can help somebody on the other side. Say, well, I found solace in this. I was able to overcome because God, and I read this passage, or I studied this section. Friends, that's man's duty. Do a good work. Live your life to its fullest. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's how He's going to end the book. For this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every work into the judgment, both good and bad, to be judged. That's Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. What have we learned tonight? What has been my goal? I hope we've learned this. That life changes often. So wise preparation is needed to make the best of it. You know, they often say the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Sometimes I feel it's better if we don't plan things, but we need to always be ready to make the best of life. We also need to realize there is a divine order that pervades human life. God's law is always right, and it's always there for us to be obedient to. Friends, we should seek God's guidance as we're dealing with the changing times and season, because life changes, things in life change, but God's word is constant. And finally, man's true happiness depends upon God. I know some people who claim that they're happy in this world, but they're living a life of sin, and they say they're happy, and they go home, and they're not happy. Friends, the happiest people I've ever met on the face of this earth are faithful Christians. And some of these faithful Christians are going through a lot. But they know they put their hope, their confidence, their trust, their faith in God Almighty. And they know if they're faithful to Him, God will be faithful to them. And so that's the lesson that we learned from Ecclesiastes 3. And as I mentioned, I think a good way to be the last Sunday night sermon here of this year, to reflect upon the year that it's been and to look forward to the new year, Lord willing, ahead of us. Now, if you would like a copy of these notes, they're on my website, justinreedshow.com/Bible Resources, or Google my name, Justin Reed Bible. Click on the Bible Resources section. Notes are found in the sermon section, alphabetical. This is titled Sermon on Ecclesiastes 3. Lord willing, Wednesday night, we will be in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, Zealous Toward God, part 2. We're continuing that study of that great book, and then we'll go ahead and look forward. As I mentioned this morning, very quickly, warm invitation extended to you to be with us Sunday morning at Wood. If you can come out to the building, we would love to have you there. 99 Sally Park Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. Located at the base of Short Mountain. If you're coming off of US 70, we're 6 miles up and on the left. We would love for you to come be with us. If not, we will stream it, Lord willing. Or we'll start a new series on Sunday morning that I have been looking forward to preaching for about 3.5 months, maybe 4 months now. So I hope that you can come and be a part of that. I think it will be beneficial to everyone there. Would you please share this video so this could be beneficial to anyone else that happens to be scrolling by and goes, well, I think I know Ecclesiastes 3. Let's watch it. If you do that, I would greatly be appreciative of it. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. And thank you for watching.